Vanderbilt is the number one overall seed in the NCAA baseball tournament. And we say hello now to the voice of the Vandy boys, Andrew Allegretta, who is with us. Andrew, I know it was a fun weekend down in Hoover. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. I'm gonna be honest with you. There was a point in the middle of the season where I was like, okay, definitely feeling better about this team than I did last year. But number one seed was not on my mind. And then all of a sudden, you kind of, the old phrase of got hot at the right time. I think that series against Tennessee really was the turning point when you had the, you know, they lost game one, but then they came back and won the next. Then they swept Kentucky, go in with a ton of momentum into the SEC tournament. And then to run rule your arch rival, your in-state rival, this team just feels like they're clicking on all cylinders right now, and that's going to make them dangerous.
I sure hope so. I do always guard it because it's baseball and because the next day's starting pitcher can change your momentum with a fastball at 98 and the whole thing seems to go poof. But right now, the team has a lot of positive energy. I think one of the things that perhaps gets overlooked about this team right now, Chase, is the fact that they seem to be able to win games in a lot of different ways with a lot of different scores. And that doesn't typically seem like the Vanderbilt of the past couple of seasons. I know everybody talks about the pitching and the defense, but it's a team that had three consecutive walk-off home runs versus Alabama, Kentucky, and then Kentucky again. It's a team that was able to run rule Tennessee with 11 singles and then bounce back and win the championship game versus Ole Miss with two home runs. And they can do it with tremendous fielding, which they got in that championship game. They can do it with perhaps some unheralded pitching stars. So they've got a lot of different cards that they can play right now, which kind of makes them intriguing, you know, in terms of how that translates to this week's regional. I don't know. I really don't. But right now, the way that they've been able to do things in different ways has been encouraging.
Taking away what may happen moving forward, and we all hope it's a trip to Omaha. But when you look at this regular season and then the SEC tournament as a whole, he's never going to admit it. But how satisfying do you think this was for Corbs to put this team back in the position? Because, you know, you heard the chirping out there. Tennessee winning it all last year. Do you think that maybe privately he's enjoying this one, you know, as he should?
I think Coach Corbin, and I know you said guarding against what is going to happen. I just know where Coach Corbin's brain is. He's such a coach, right? So I don't know that he's going to allow that to kind of come through at the moment. But I think there is certainly a satisfaction with the way that this group came together, how it happened, the moment in time that it happened. And some of that, of course, is all of the forces in college athletics, and whether that's the team out east or whether that's the way that NIL has changed the landscape, whether that's all of that sort of stuff, right? Like, there was this creeping narrative, which was a little silly, that, you know, the moment in time wasn't for Vanderbilt baseball. This is me speaking as, you know, the black and gold insider. I have never felt like Coach Corbin, from what I have seen in my limited time, was this brutally inflexible coach. I have seen a more malleable coach than people would ever want to give him credit for, right? Like, okay, it's a power hitting team and they can't hit a bunch of home runs. Well, I mean, look at Holcomb and Johnston and Barzy and these guys hitting home runs. Here's one of my favorite stats, Chase, of the past couple of weeks. The narrative is Tennessee hits a bunch of home runs and Vanderbilt hits none. In conference play, coming into the tournament, Tennessee had 45 conference home runs and Vanderbilt had 40. That's more from Tennessee, but that's dangerously close on both sides of it, right? So
sure.
I have always seen a coach that was way more malleable and flexible and able to kind of navigate changing tides than perhaps is out there externally. And that's just my two cents watching it day to day. But I'm sure because of the way that he's needed to navigate and slalom some of these different scenarios, I think there's probably satisfaction there.
So go back. The last baseball game this Vandy team lost was that opening game, that Friday versus the Vols?
It's eight consecutive wins since Liam Doyle pitched incredibly well, yes.
Yeah, so this team, was there one thing we always go back like, this happened, that happened? Did anything click in Vandy? Had they just been playing the same baseball all year long? It just happened to come, this streak started against their hated rival, the Vols.
I actually, you know, and I've talked with Coach Corbin about this too, guys, about what's a turning point. And it's hard to know in the moment, and you can kind of only label it once you get past it. I think the game that a lot of us kind of look at right now is game three versus Oklahoma, which is about a month ago. We had lost a couple of weekends. We had lost two in a row versus a team that we thought we could go to Norman and do a little bit of damage against, perhaps, although they've got good players. And then we didn't perform well. And then in game three, a couple of things happened. First off, Braden Holcomb, who's our left fielder, 6'4", power hitter out of Florida, he got back into the lineup, and he started swinging it better. He had a home run in that game. He had an extra base hit. And for him, he felt like he turned a corner in that game. And then the other thing was, that's when Connor Fennell, this kind of, you know, wild man pitcher who's 6'1", weighs 150, 60, 70 pounds, but has the confidence of Hercules, he started game three. And from those points, to me, you saw a team find some pieces that started to connect and to gel. And when that happened, I think they started to really buy into who they were as a team. And it's a team that, you know, cliche as it might be, they definitely all have each other's back. And yeah, there's some of that from the Tennessee game, right? Like Andrew Fisher is very vocal as he goes around the bases. And then, you know, we start to bark back a little bit. We're not going to just sit back and let that stuff sort of happen. So they rallied around each other in a lot of different moments. But, you know, some of that's the Tennessee series. And for us, I think a lot of us point to game three versus Oklahoma a month ago.
Yeah, I think, you know, the job Corbin does, Andrew, with just mentally with this baseball team, and he's done it the whole time he's been here, is fantastic. That's why Friday night when they play, Tim Corbin's going to make their opponent out to be the number one team in America. He'll convince those guys that they're the number one team in America, and that's how they've always played so well. I just love the fascinating game he plays with baseball, unlike anybody else in the college game, and you see the results of what he's done.
I think so, too. I think the other part of it, too, Big Joe, is just this ridiculous commitment to the process versus the outcome, and that's coach speak. That's fine, but he and I have talked in advance of big moments and what it means to talk about, you've got to execute this pitch at this time. And, you know, if you don't execute that, you're going to lose, regardless of the jersey, regardless of the moment, and kind of stripping down the exterior is pretty good. And again, like, I think he's had a different touch with this team. Like, 2025 athletes aren't the same as 2015 athletes. And I think he's managed them accordingly. And when I talk about a malleable and flexible head coach that I've seen, again, personally, that's sort of the stuff that I see just kind of watching from afar. And that's a gift as a coach. That's an absolute gift as a coach to say, you know, I need to change as the moment changes. And I think he is remarkably adept at that.
I remember years ago we interviewed him about getting to the regional, and we're like, hey, you know, you're three wins away, the super regional. He's like, we're also two losses away from our season being over. And I thought it was a very basic way to say, look, we got to go out and play our best baseball game. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to root for us to go out and get it done. And so I sometimes think the simple approach, Andrew, is the best approach.
I think so, too. And, like, I think we also sit here recognizing, feeling pretty darn good about where we are in this moment in time and the players that we have on our team. But we're also pretty cognizant, like, without three pitches versus Alabama, Kentucky, and Kentucky, we could have a totally different outcome. I mean, that's 16 wins in conference play instead of 19 wins in conference play. And that's a different seat at the tournament. That's a different position in a regional if you get a host, right? That's three pitches. Like, baseball can come down to three pitches. And, you know, game of inches in football, ball bounces off the rim in basketball. I get that it's sport. You know, for the most part, lately things have bounced our way, but, you know, humble yourself and recognize that things could change in millimeters and fractions of a swing in baseball too. So, but again, here's the other thing about us being the number one seed. I think probably I mentioned this on the broadcast, guys, this past weekend. Texas, the fact that they didn't get the number one overall seed is a little bit tricky to wrap your head around, that the conference champion in the regular season of the best conference isn't the number one overall seed. They have not won a game back-to-back since April 27th and 29th. So we're playing very, very well. Our metrics are incredibly well. So some of it is circumstances, right? Like, if Texas doesn't kind of stub their toe down the stretch, then we're probably not the number one overall seed too. So you talk about holistic 360 picture. You know, Coach Corbin's good about reminding everybody about that stuff too.
Andrew Allegretta is with us. Real quick, what does it say to see the support from other coaches in the athletic department? I mean, Coach Corbin always talks about his conversations with Coach Lee. I mean, even Coach James Franklin, former coach, now with Penn State, has been very supportive of this program. I think that says a lot about Tim Corbin and the program he's built to see these other coaches from other sports showing their support like they do.
I think it also probably speaks to what Coach Corbin has done over, you know, 20 plus years being at other events. I mean, it's not uncommon to see Coach Corbin on the sideline at a football game, right? Or at other point in times being there for other athletic events. And certainly people know what he does kind of quietly behind closed doors if he's going to go visit the hospital or whatever it happens to be. Nobody's perfect. And I know sometimes we have these conversations and talk about sports figures like they're deities. But Coach Corbin certainly has left an impact that's really, really strong over the course of two decades, which is about him showing up for other people so other people show up for him.
No doubt about that.
I was going to say real quick, you know, people like, well, if he wins it all, this would be, you know, right up to the sunset. And I go back, Andrew, I'll never forget Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno. People ask him, like, well, if you win the next one, are you done? And they're like, all we know is football. We don't fish. We don't hunt. Football makes us young. I'm telling you, Tim Corbin being around 18, 19, 20-year-olds, he's that same age. I mean, physically and mentally, he feels that same age. I don't see him retiring if he wins one. And why should he?
Well, I will not even come close to dipping my toes into those waters because that's a behind-closed-doors conversation for whenever that's appropriate for Tim and Maggie and the family. But I certainly can articulate, you know, how physically active he is. And what he said at his press conference yesterday was, you know, the joy for him. The two times I have seen him win the SEC tournament championship, Big Joe, he is standing back toward close toward the dugout, right, and watching the players celebrate. And what he said at the press conference is, like, that's his joy. The moment that he can have to kind of take a mental picture of the kids that he coached and the young men that he has coached finding joy and success, that's where his happiness comes from. So, you know, I'm not saying that's going to translate into X, Y, and Z in the future years, but you know where kind of the soul and the joy of Tim Corbin comes from when it comes to coaching baseball.
Andrew, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy it this weekend at the Hawk, and we will certainly be listening.
Guys, thank you so much.